do as the church is discipleship. One of the weakest points of the church is discipleship. We have a whole lot of people who are believers, and then there's a whole lot less of those believers who are really disciples. They don't really follow the teachings of the Lord. They like to name the fact, well, I'm a Christian, but there's really not anything in their life that would prove that they're a disciple. And Jesus really didn't tell us to go and make Christians. He told us to go make disciples. So one of the great challenges of the church is to make disciples in the earth. But that's kind of a whole nother subject. When we begin to understand authority, that's going to help us in our walk with God. And there's several things that we need to realize in to do that. And we're going to look at some verses of Scripture tonight. But the first point we need to make is God is the ultimate authority. God is the ultimate authority. He is the source of life. Therefore, He has the position and the right to establish His way for ruling His creation. He could have done it any way that He chose to do it. I mean, He created the world. He created everything that's in the world. He created us. He set in motion all of the laws in the earth. He created the law of gravity. He created every law that's in the Bible. He created. And I'm not talking about the thou shalt nots. I'm talking about the very laws of nature that govern how the world operates. God created them, and He set them in force. And He could do that because He is the ultimate authority. And you got to realize that God is the authority. Okay? Now understand, what He desires to do is to share that authority with us as Christians. Okay? God has always been, is now, and will always be the ultimate authority. In fact, His name is, I am the great I am. I like, you know, who is He? He says, I am. I am. All He ever was, He still is. And all He ever is, He will always be, because He is I am. And that's just the way He is. God doesn't change. He hasn't changed in His personality. He hasn't changed in His nature. He hasn't changed in any of that. See, some people read the Old Testament, and maybe you've done this. You've read the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it just almost seems like there's two different gods there. Well, the God of the New Testament is the God of the Old Testament, and He hasn't changed. Now, He has changed some things in the earth through the covenants. There was the Old Covenant, and there's the New Covenant. There's a different system in both of those, but the one who is back of it has never changed one iota. In fact, one of the things He said about Himself, He says, I am the Lord, I change not. And this is one good thing that we can depend on God, is that He never, never changes. Now, we change, don't we? You know what? When you're perfect, you don't have to change. When you're perfect, you don't have to change. You know why you have to change? I hate to pop your bubble. I hate to pop your bubble. You know why you still have to change? Because you're not perfect. In fact, I don't believe that you ever will be in this earth. I don't think you'll ever arrive and come to the place that you get to quit changing. You know, and you know the very thing that we as Christians hate worse than anything else is change. We don't like change. We like the status quo. We like our ruts. We like our routines. Now, we like to get out of them every now and then, but then we like to go right back to our routines. We don't like change. But guess what? We got to constantly be changing because we're not perfect. God is, and He doesn't change. He'll never have to change. He will never change. And that's good for us. That is good for us because He will always be consistent with us. Now, One of the attributes of God is His omnipresence. And what does that simply mean? That He is everywhere at the same time. And He is the same everywhere at the same time. Let's make some statements here. We'll look at them. God's way is the only way. God's way is the only way. You can't make the rules. Now, we're talking about if you're going to operate in God's authority and you're going to live the kind of life that you're supposed to live and you're going to fulfill the destiny that you're supposed to fulfill, you don't get to make the rules. One of the things that you see among Americans is they invent their own God, honestly. Well, let me tell you what I believe about God. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I could tell you everything that I think about Paige, but that doesn't mean that Paige is that way. I could think she was perfect. That don't make her perfect. Okay? You can think things about God and you believe God's that way, but He is who He is. He makes the rules. You don't get to make the rules. There's only one way, and that's God's way. You don't get to decide how life works. You really don't. I mean, if we had our way, honestly, human beings, we would want to live in the flesh and have all of the benefits of the Spirit. That's the way we would choose. That's our natural inclination. So we don't get to decide how life works. If we decided how life works, we would be planting watermelons expecting cucumbers. Okay? That's not how life works, is it? God set in motion certain things. He says, if you do this, this is what happens. If you do this, this is what happens. And you can say, well, you know what? I just don't believe that. It doesn't matter. You know what? You cannot believe in the law of gravity. But guess what? The law of gravity works unless it's superseded by a higher law. We could get out on top of this building and you could not believe, you could say, you know what? I don't believe that if I stepped off this building that I would fall. I don't believe in the law of gravity. I choose not to believe in the law of gravity. Guess what? You don't get to decide how life works. God has already chosen how life works. So if life is going to work right for us, then we're going to have to find out how God has chosen it to be, and we're going to have to change. Oh, we hate that word. We're going to have to change. If we want our life to work right, we're the ones that's going to have to alter the course, because God doesn't alter His course. Now, I'm not talking about legalism, folks. You know me. I'm not a legalist at all. But there is a flow of life. There are ways that things work. You don't get to decide how the spiritual principles work. Guess what? The law of sowing and reaping works. You don't get to change the spiritual principles. Guess what? If you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you will reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit you'll reap life. That's the way the principles work. That never changes. You know why that never changes? Because God never changes. Yeah, but can I get forgiveness? Yeah, but that's one of God's laws. Aren't you glad that the law of forgiveness is one of God's laws? If it wasn't for the law of forgiveness, we'd all be in a pickle, wouldn't we? Well, I know some of you would. I would be too. You can't decide that you'll come to God any other way than the way He gave you. You hear this all the time? I hear this. Well, it doesn't really matter what you call God. I mean, some people call Him Buddha, and some people call Him Jesus, and some people, you know, call Him a light bulb. Because some people call Him higher power, some people call Him this. No, you don't get to decide. You don't get to decide how you'll come to God. You come to God on God's terms. Now, you can be a Methodist and get to God. I did. That's not what he's talking about. Jesus is the way to God. And you say, well, that's pretty narrow-minded. Well, guess what? God's pretty narrow-minded when it comes to that kind of stuff. You know what? If there's only one way to get from here to Cave City, there's only one way. There's only one good way to get to Cave City, isn't there? From here, pull out, turn left, and go till you get to Cave City. Now, you can wind around, you can go up here and turn left on Cave Creek, and you can go back through there, and you can turn left and go back through Coon Creek, and I don't know. I get lost after that. But the good way there's only really one way that you go to God, and that's His way. God is the one who decided how the world would operate. He's the one who established the spiritual laws. He's the one who set the standard for what is right. And He is the one who gave us the way of salvation. Now, guess what? If we're going to live and operate in God's authority, we're going to have to acknowledge that He is the ultimate authority. We don't make it up as we go along. That's hard, because we don't always like God's way. I made the statement the other day, we were talking about, you know, we read certain books and we discuss certain books, and I'm going to be a heretic here for a minute, okay? And you say, well, you shouldn't use books that you don't agree with everything that's in there. I don't know any book that I agree with everything that's in there. In fact, I'll be honest with you. There's parts of the Bible that I don't agree with. Okay, now I'm going to straighten it out. God's right and I'm wrong. There's parts of the Bible you don't agree with. You may say, well, I believe everything that's in that book. I doubt it very seriously. If you really believe that everything that's in that book. You may say that you do, but when it gets right down to what you believe, there's some things in that book that you don't really believe. Guess who's got to change? Us. Because His way is right. Everything in that book is right, whether you agree with it or not. I've heard people say, well, you know what? I just don't believe in miracles. That don't mean miracles passed away because you don't believe in them. Well, I don't believe in, you name it. If it's in that book, it's right and you're wrong. And you agreeing or disagreeing with it doesn't make it right or wrong. It's just, that's just the way it is. Okay, now you have the right to choose to yield to God or not. That's your choice. This is one thing that God gave you. He gave you the choice to say, I believe that. Or I don't. Now that don't mean, you may have the right to do that, or you have the ability to do that, but that doesn't mean that if you disagree with God, guess what? You go contrary to what He says. And there are always consequences to everything that we choose. This is the good and bad thing about God. He gave us the ability to choose. But most of us have chosen the wrong stuff. Well, let's put it this way. Have you ever been in a bad relationship? Anybody ever been in a bad relationship? Whose fault was that? Was it God's? Girls, did God make you take drugs? That was your own dumb choice, wasn't it? Everything in life, we choose. We have the ability to choose. But if we're really going to be where we need to be, we're going to have to find out what God wants us to do, and we're going to have to choose that. We'll see. Well, that just doesn't seem fair. Well, do what you want to. But there are consequences to everything that you choose. That's just the way it works. You know why? Because God is the ultimate authority, and He's the one that made the rules. Well, sir, that's not fair. I think we ought to vote on it. I think we ought to get a committee together and we ought to decide. No. God doesn't have committees. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. God is the ultimate authority. He's the one that makes the rules. He'll let you choose to go the wrong way if you want to, but listen, you're dumb if you do. And if you do, you're not going to walk in His authority. That's just the way it works. Okay. You can decide either to yield yourself to God and have His life and His benefits, or you can refuse to yield to God and experience death and destruction. He is the ultimate authority, establishing His ways for ruling His creation. Your choice is to yield or not to yield. God did not put you in that bad relationship. Okay? There's people who believe, well, you know, whatever God wants. No, that's not the way He operates. He lets you choose. Now he'll say, Paige, don't do that. Don't go over there. I'm picking on Paige tonight. Pick on Christy Thorne next week. We won't be here next week, so. But He doesn't interfere with your choices. Now, the Holy Spirit has been given to us to bring conviction in our life. The Holy Spirit's job is to try to keep us in line with what God wants. But God does not override your will. You will have a free will until you die. And here's what happens after you die. God will carry out your choice. If you chose Jesus Christ, guess where you're going? You're going to where that choice leads you. You're going to go to heaven. If you rejected God's way and you rejected Jesus Christ, they say God will send you to hell. No, you sent yourself because you didn't choose. You didn't live according to the way God laid it out. It's your choice. Now, this is so liberating when we see this, that God has a way. And the good thing about this, that everything that God sets out is for our benefit. It's never for our detriment. One thing I've learned about God, He's not a party pooper. Every party has a pooper, but it's not God. God is not the one spoiling our lives. He is the one wanting to enhance our lives. He wants to bring us into the full expression of what we were designed to be. But we got to do it His way. And we don't always like that. God knows that you need Him. You can't decide that you will live independently of God and still have life. He is your source of life. Life comes from one place, and it comes from God. God is the only originator of life, and He's also the sustainer of life. Now, God's not a control freak. You say, well, it sounds like it. He is not a control freak. There is liberty with God. You know, I never found anywhere in the Bible that it said David, Mary, Kathy Green. Now, I'm glad I did. Did y'all know today's her birthday? Say happy birthday, Miss Kathy. She turned 60 today. Oh, no, she didn't. She's 5.5 years younger than I am, so you figure it out. There's liberty with God. There's certain things that are just not in the Bible. And God may say, you know what, this person's right for you, or this person. And there might be two or three people that you could marry. I don't believe that there's just one person for every, you know, you think about the logistics of this. Well, you know, I believe that there's just one person for everybody. You know, just, well, what if somebody marries the wrong person? It just messes up the whole apple cart. Can you imagine two or three people that marry the wrong people? Then that's going to cause other people to marry the wrong people and other people to marry. It's not all like that. There's not one person for everybody. But there's definitely people that you don't need to be marrying. But God lets you choose. Okay. Now, sin is deceptive. Sin is a control freak. Sin desires to have you. See, we think, sometimes we think, man, you just can't have any fun if you're a believer. Just life is dull. The real fun is out there in the world where all the sin is. Well, there is pleasure in sin for a season, isn't there? But you know what? There comes a payday for everything that happens. If you sow to the wind, you reap the what? You reap the whirlwind. If you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. You know, you wind up addicted. You wind up in a bad relationship. You wind up broke. You wind up bankrupt. You know, and then it's not much fun then, is it? So sin is the one that's deceptive. And a person thinks that in turning away from God, they'll be free to do whatever they want to, but sin will bring you into bondage. If you choose to smoke cigarettes, you know what they're going to do to you? They're going to bring you into bondage. If you choose to use meth, it's going to bring you into bondage. If you choose to look at pornography on the internet, it's going to bring you into bondage. If you choose God, it's going to bring you into liberty. Christian people ought to be the funnest people to be around. When we party, it ought to be a party, dude. We're going to, you know, in a month or two, we're going to have a Super Bowl party. I can't wait. We're going to have a ball. We're going to laugh and we're going to eat and we're going to fellowship. And none of us are going to be hung over the next day. That's cool. When we come to church, we ought to have a ball. We ought to laugh. We ought to cry. We ought to rejoice. We ought to love each other. We ought to prefer one another. It ought to just be, man, it ought to be a party. The real kind of party. The good kind of party. A place you want to be. A place of peace and joy and love. And that's where righteousness leads you, but it's sin that leads you to death. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 33 says, "You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess." See, I believe that when you walk with God and you walk in the true expression that you're supposed to walk, I believe it lengthens your days. I believe you'll be healthier. I never heard that before. I believe it's healthy living for God. You're not under stress all the time. Your life is not all messed up because of stupid stuff that you choose. And it's just good for your brain, and it's good for your body, and it's good for your nervous system. Amen. Okay, the second thing. God has power to execute His authority. Authority is only as strong as the power it represents. It says in Psalm 62, it says, power belongs to God. You know the Greek word where it talks about receiving the Holy Spirit, it says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That word is dunamis, which we get our word dynamite, almost like a self-generating power. Power belongs to God. Power don't belong to the devil. Power belongs to God. And God's authority, God's power is backed by His authority. Okay? So He is, another word that we use for God to understand Him is that He is omnipotent. Now, the first thing we said, He's omnipresent. That means He's everywhere, equally, at the same time, present. They're having a party back there. I hope they're not bouncing off the walls. We got holes back there in the walls where some of them bounced off the walls. But the next one is omnipotent, which means all powerful. Is there anybody more powerful than God? You know, let me give you a little false theology here. People say, well, you know, the devil is powerful. Here's God up here. He's just a little bit stronger than the devil. Then there's the devil right under him. Dude, the devil is no match for God. His power is no match for God's power. God's power is stronger than the devil's power. The only power that the devil has is the power you give him. I want to say that again. I want that to soak in. The only power that the devil has is the power that you give him. When you sin, you give the devil power. When you make the wrong choice, you give the devil power. He has no power of his own. He is a usurper of power. He is a usurper of authority. He has no authority. He has no power unless you give it to him. In fact, if you'll learn to keep your mouth shut, he won't even know what's going on the inside of you. The devil cannot read your mind. He cannot read minds. He might read lips, but he can't read minds. So, learn to keep your mouth shut. Don't say everything that comes to your mind. Okay. The Holy Spirit is the executor of God's power. That's why when it talked about receiving the Holy Spirit, it's talking about power. He is the executor of God's power. Who is the one in the earth that we deal with today? Where is God the Father? I know He's everywhere, okay? But if you look at Scripture, He's seated in heaven. Where's Jesus? He's seated at His right hand. Jesus told His disciples, He said, it's expedient for you that I go away, for when I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So Jesus went away and He sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the executor of the power of God. Who is the authority? God's the authority. Who is the power part of the God, of God? It's the Holy Spirit. Okay? Oh me, we got a lot to cover in a little bit of time. Psalm 66:7 says, He rules by His power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Jeremiah 32:17 says, Ah, Lord God, behold, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for You. Nothing is too difficult for You. Remember that song, anybody? Nothing is too difficult for You, O great and mighty God. Okay. For 2 Timothy 1:12. It says, I know whom I believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him until that day. Why can we be persuaded that He is able to keep that which we've committed to Him against that day? Because He has all power. That's good. Number three. God has knowledge to execute His authority. Okay. He's omnipotent. He is, what was the first one we said? Omnipresent. And the third thing is He is omniscient. And that means all-knowing. He knows everything. Let's put this together. He's everywhere. He has all power. He has all knowledge. What do you think you can hide from God? What can you hide from God? Wasn't Adam dumb in the Garden of Eden when he sinned? And the Bible says he hid himself from the presence of God. You know, where are you going to go from the presence of God? Where can you go to get away from Him? You know, David says, he talked about that in a psalm one time. He says, if I go to the highest heaven, You're there. If I go to the lowest hell, You're there. You're not going to go anywhere that You can get away from God. And He sees everything, He has all power, and He knows everything. Can you imagine a being? I don't know how, well, the earth, mankind, God could name every person that's ever been born and tell you everything about them, people who have live since Adam and who will live after us if Jesus tarries, he could tell you their names and how many hairs they got on their head. That's pretty sharp. I mean, he is all knowing. He is all knowledge. We need to get a revelation of God. So he has the power to execute his authority. And this is a good thing. God knows what's best for you. You know why he knows what's best for you? Because he sees your future. If you choose the wrong thing, he sees your future. And that's why he'll say, don't do that. That's why he put in the Bible, thou shalt not. You know why? Because he sees the end result of those actions. And he loves us enough to say, David, don't go there. Don't start that. Don't say that. The Holy Spirit is that committed to us to guide us if we'll let him. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Now you have to choose to walk in them, and he'll guide you every step of the way because he knows what's best. I can't see the next 5 seconds. I could not tell you what's going to happen in the next 5 seconds. God knows everything that's ever happened in my life from the time that I was conceived until the time that I die. He knows every event that's going to happen in my life. I don't know the next 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't know. But God does. He knows everything. He is everywhere present. I believe that he lives in eternity past, eternity present, and eternity future. He doesn't live in time like we do. He knows everything. Cool. I'm glad I know him. God is not a dictator. He doesn't say it's my way or the highway. But God knows what's best. And it's like he says, please choose what I show you. In fact, he said to Israel one time, he says, today I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. He says, choose life. Hint, hint, choose life. Choose life. What do we normally do? Before we knew Christ, we always chose death, didn't we? But there, he was there all the time, just waiting. Just waiting, just waiting for us. Number 4. God has given authority to his word. And this is why the Bible is such an important book to us. Because let me say this again, lest you go out and misquote me. This book is 100% true. This book is 100% true. There are no mistakes in this book. This is God's Word. If I believe it, or if I don't believe it. If I believe part of it, which I believe part of it. And I'm working to believe all of it, okay? But I'm acknowledging that it's all true. And I'm trying to get the full revelation of it. But I don't have it all yet. So don't misunderstand what I was saying a while ago. Sometimes we use shock value. But God's power is released through his word. Now I want you to think about it, because number one, God spoke the world into existence. He could have made it with his hands, but you know what? God didn't reach down and get what to make the world. What would he have gotten? Well, he'd have got dirt. Well, there wasn't any dirt. But God said, he spoke it. He created it with his words. There's power in his words. And he spoke the world into existence. In fact, it says that he created it out of what you can't see. And the substance was, it was words filled with faith. And Well, Psalm 33:6 says, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." That's how the words were made. "For he spoke and it was done. He commanded it and it stood fast." It's his words. God has invested his power in his word. Psalms 148 says this, "Let them, creation, praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away." That's pretty cool, isn't it? And if you go back to Genesis 1, when God was creating, it says, "And God said, and it was so." And God said, and it was so. I mean, there's, 9 times that God said, and it was so. That's how he created. He used his words. And there's power in his words. God works his authority through the words of his mouth. Okay? That's good, isn't it? Number three, God's word is God's will. This is simple stuff, but we need to be reminded of this sometimes. God's word is God's will. You know, God doesn't kid. God doesn't lie. God, in fact, there's one thing that God cannot do. He cannot lie. The Bible says that God, it didn't say he won't lie. It says he cannot lie. That's pretty powerful. I can lie. I can lie like a dog, just like you can. "Don't you like my new hairdo?" "Oh, yeah." "Honey, does this dress..." No, we're not going to go there. Kathy doesn't say that to me. No. But we can lie, can't we? But God doesn't lie. God's word is his will. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." That's how powerful the word is. And God's word is his bond. It's sure. It's just as sure as it can be. So if God's authority is released through his words, what happens when we speak God's word? It releases his authority in the earth. Someday we're going to let Paige share her story about how she was sick. Thought she was dying. And she took God's word and now is healed in her body from all of the things that plagued her life. We'll let her share it. But she used one thing. She quit saying what she thought and she started saying what God said. And it took what, a couple of years? And now she went from hurting all the time, crying all the time, thinking, being in fear all the time, to being whole, well, and healed in Jesus' name. How do you do that? It's by releasing God's authority, by speaking his word. See, the most powerful confession that there is Jesus is Lord. You know what happens when you make that for the first time in faith? Your spirit is recreated. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. The most powerful miracle that can ever take place, because it's not a resurrection from the dead. It is a new creation that takes place on the inside of you. You become something that never before existed, a new creature in Christ Jesus. And how do you do that? By speaking God's word. It's powerful. All right. Got to quit. We'll take this up. Is this good? All right. It's good for you too. So I never heard nothing like that before. Well, keep coming. You'll hear some more stuff you've never heard before. This is not religion that we're talking about. This is life. We're not trying to have religion here. We're trying to live life and have life. Thank you, Father, tonight for your word. Lord, bless it to your people. Bless it to their hearts and their lives. May it be a light under their path and a lamp under their feet. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Thanks for coming.